He spun around, dazed, his legs wobbling, his fingers losing their grip on the hilt. Stars danced before his eyes as he clutched at the wall for balance. Everything was fuzzy, but he had the presence of mind to duck as the next blow came around. The monster's claws whistled past, scraping chunks of stone from the wall. Goggin shook his head, clambering on all fours until he was out of range. His head pounded. He reached up, searching for blood. What was it about blood again that was so important? But his hand came away clean. He looked back at the door where the cracks had joined, becoming a widening gap as the monster strained to tear the wood into two ragged halves. The sword was still protruding from its stomach, having only penetrated a hand's width. So far, Goggin thought, gathering what strength he had left, clenching his teeth to stop the room from spinning, finding his feet, swaying slightly but not falling, and then rushing forward while the beast was distracted with the door. He hit the sword's hilt at a run, grasping it with both hands and using his momentum to shove it in further until the blade vanished into dark flesh. Then he twisted. The monster tried to rain down blows on his head, but he dropped to the floor, popping up again only to twist the blade back the other way, simultaneously dragging it upward, rending his foe's muscular chest in two. Then its neck, then its head, which parted like cheese. It fell back. Releasing an enormous sigh, Goggin fell back too, in the opposite direction. His vision faded, but not before he spotted a long slash on his forearm, just beginning to ooze with blood. Oh no, he thought, and then he passed out. The monster lunged for him, slashing his chest open with its claws, clamping its fangs down on his throat. Blood flowed like water, spilling to the earth, each drop sizzling, spitting steam and growing into monsters. An army of monsters. He knew he was dying, but still, he tried to raise his blade, to kill at least one of them, to give the rest of the dreadnoughters a fighting chance. His mouth tried to form words.
I didn't know. I didn't understand. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
But all that came out was a blood-filled gasp. Goggin sat up in bed, sucking at the stale air, swinging at monsters that were not there. The familiar room was empty, save for the slash-faced depictions of Phoenicians on the stone walls. He was sitting on a soft mattress set on the floor. The thin rug where he'd first met the Dalla lay in the center of the cavernous space. She did not. He swiveled his head around, but he was alone. No monsters. No Joaquin. No Dalla. He remembered the injury he'd sustained while fighting the monster, his gaze darting to his forearm. His skin was wrapped with white cloth, and there was no evidence of blood seepage. Slowly, he peeled off the cloth, each layer coming away clean. Finally, he reached the skin, which was entombed by a hearty portion of gum wax, sealing off the injury. He sighed, slumping down, his heart rate returning to normal. He hadn't created an army of monsters with his blood. Someone, the Dalla probably, had gotten to him fast enough before his blood could spill out.
We were fortunate, the voice said.
He sat up once more and turned toward it, finding the Dalla standing in the doorway, which now stood open. He sighed again, even more deeply this time.
There is no need to thank me. I just did what I do.
Thank you? Is that what you expect? You almost destroyed everything we've worked so hard to protect.
He clenched his fists.
I did what your pathetic archers could not. I saved you and your damn city. You disobeyed my orders. If Joaquin hadn't insisted on rushing back in like a fool and having the presence of mind to stem the blood with gum wax... Joaquin? Yes, he's your only advocate at present. The rest of my people would have you dumped in the sea without a raft. I might consider it, but flotsam tends to only wash back up on shore.
Goggin ignored the threat and insult.
He stopped my blood from spilling.
She shook her head.
Oh, no. It spilled. He managed to stop the flow with his gum wax, but it was already too late. Then why... Haven't monsters decimated the city? We keep it clean for a reason. Your blood had to touch the island's earth to set off the reaction. We cleaned it up quickly, burned the blood-stained rags, and then resealed the doors and window. Still, we were lucky. If even a single speck of dirt had touched your blood...
Goggin felt bad, but only a little.
I didn't know. I asked questions, but no one answered them.
The Dalla said,
Would it have made a difference if we had?
Before he could answer, she continued,
I've known men like you. Big on courage, small on patience. You would have petitioned me again and again to leave the city, risking us all.
It was true, he would have.
You let Joaquin leave when I washed up on the beach.
Yes, to ensure you didn't bleed all over our island.
Oh. I can't stay here.
No, you can't. This we finally agree on.
When can I leave?
I'll let you know.
With that, she turned on her heel and left. Just as Goggin had begun to count the stone blocks for the third time, the first two attempts had yielded 2,036 and 2,021, respectively, Joaquin showed up, bearing a grin. Goggin immediately said,
Thank you.
The small dreadnought shrugged it off like saving his city from an army of monsters was a daily affair.
The room was clean, or at least where your blood fell. There was little risk.
Goggin could tell from the tight way the words came out that the man was purposely downplaying the event.
Still, thank you. What you did was courageous, Joaquin said,
sitting on the edge of the makeshift bed.
My seventh wife liked to say I'm always walking the line between courageous and stupid, and I usually fall on the wrong side.
Ha! I think I like your seventh wife. Are you still married?
He shook his head.
When she threw all of my clothes out the window, I suspected she was ready for me to leave. I'm currently between wives.
Joaquin grinned like it was the best story he'd heard all year.
The Dalla wants you to leave. I'm to be your escort to the beach. You will be given food, water, and a seaworthy vessel.
Weapons?
Sorry. The risk of you accidentally cutting yourself while still on the island is too great.
Fair enough.
He was getting off. That was the important thing.
Now I can go back to Calip and find Raven, if she's alive. No more monsters. Well, at least not the kind that terrorizes the dreadnoughts. Thank you. For coming to my aid. Twice. For being my only advocate.
You're welcome. It was more excitement than I've had in years.
And anyway, it was our fault for not containing the monster. We've done several such demonstrations without trouble. This time, we failed. Why do you do them at all?
He shrugged.
To test the island. To see if it is still cursed. Do you think we want to live our entire lives behind walls? Always adding gum wax to the nooks and cracks? Always living in fear of breaking our own skin by accident? That is why we walk so slowly, planning each step to avoid tripping over. That is why we keep anything with a sharp edge locked away, only to be used for our tests. Have you ever tried cutting a rubbery tuber with a blunt utensil?
He laughed, but there was no mirth in it, only frustration.
Why do the dreadnoughters stay here, on the islands? They could come to Calip. Many do. They are accepted?
Well, mostly. This is our home. We have fought for our lives here for many years, and we won't give in. Not when our ancestors didn't. Some grow frustrated and leave, but most stay. Leaving home isn't as easy as you make it sound.
That was true. Goggin had lived his entire life in Calypso, the city of his birth. He'd fought in two other kingdoms and one other empire, but he always returned home.
You could come with me, if you wanted.
A smile crept back onto Joaquin's lips.
Thank you. I am sorely tempted, but my place is here, too. I will go on surviving, hoping for a day when our curse is lifted.
Goggin nodded. He'd suspected the man's answer before he gave it.
When do I leave?
Joaquin's lips returned to a grim line.
Immediately. Good. This is good.
He remembered his dream, shuddering slightly. Still, an army of monsters could come in handy, especially if used against Calip's enemies. An idea formed in his head. It was like most of his ideas, outlandish, bordering on madness.
It's perfect, he thought.
22. The Southern Empire, Zoon. Gwendolyn Storm. Gwendolyn felt like a sideshow act at a Calypsian carnival. If they have carnivals in this all-forsaken place, she thought wryly. She considered lunging at the pitmasters hanging around the edges of the bars to her cell, but managed to restrain herself. There was no point in wasting energy. She would need it in the arena. "Who is running this horrid place?" she said aloud, to no one in particular. One of the guards, a beady-eyed, bony fellow, answered,
"Empress Viper herself."
"I heard she's in Calypso, sitting on the dragon throne. I mean the day-to-day operations. Who decides who fights who? That sort of thing."
"Why should I answer your questions?"
"Because I want to make the Empress a lot of coin."
"How?"
"Let me fight against both Raven and Whisper Sands. They can have weapons and I'll be empty-handed. Or you can tie my hands and feet if you want. Make it the main event. An Orion warrior against the first and third daughters. You could charge triple, no, quadruple, for admission. And then use the Empire's treasury to bet a bunch of coin on me. You won't be sorry."
The man closed one eye, seeming to consider the proposition.
"I know I'd love to see a fight like that."
He shook his head.
"But I can't do anything without the Empress's permission."
"Then send her a stream with my proposition."
"I'll think about it. Anything else, Your Highness?"
He said the last with a sarcastic sneer.
"Aye," she said. "Tell Raven Sands I'm going to kill her, and her sister. And then I'll escape and head for Calypso to finish off the snake."
The guard laughed, said,
"I'll do you one better. You can tell her yourself."
23. The Southern Empire, Zoon. Raven Sands. A commotion wrested Raven from a restless sleep. From the cell beside her, Whisper hissed,
"Someone's coming."
After that first match against the lions, the guards had found it amusing to have the sisters in neighboring cells, so they could listen to them strategize for the next fight. Since then, Whisper had shown her mettle on half a dozen occasions. Each time they emerged from seemingly insurmountable odds victorious, Raven's determination grew. She would find a way to save them both, or at least Whisper.
What now?
Raven thought, listening to the approaching footsteps. Was it already time for their next bout? She crawled to the bars and peeked through, trying to see down the dark, narrow corridor. One of the pitmasters, a squinty-eyed fellow she referred to in her head as Weasel, strode toward her cell, but stopped before he reached it.
"Get in,"
he said to someone Raven couldn't see. The adjacent cell creaked open, a shadow passed inside, and Weasel slammed the door shut with a clang that reverberated through the stone wall between the cells. He glanced at Raven, offering a sneer, and then left the way he'd come. "Hello?" Raven said. It was the first time they'd imprisoned another fighter within earshot. No response. Whisper said,
"What happened? I can't see a thing."
Raven said,
"They brought someone else." "Not someone," a woman's voice said. "A nightmare. For you, anyway."
"You,"
Raven said.
"The woman from the pits, the Orion. The woman who said she wanted to kill me. Not without reason." "Yes, me. The Orion."
There was a cold undercurrent to her reply. Still, Raven remembered how she'd hesitated the night before, eventually surrendering, dragged away by the guards.
"Why didn't you kill us when you had the chance? You don't mince words, do you? Lies are pointless. Truth can be a blade when wielded by one with skill."
It was something her mother had once said.
something that had stuck with her, evidently.
How noble of you.
The woman spat the words like they were a vile taste in her mouth.
I didn't kill you in the pit because there were too many guards. I wouldn't have been able to escape. They would have killed me.
They would have applauded you, Raven said. Then again, something about the Orion's words rang false. She'd seen how she'd moved, her silver hair swirling, her golden cat-like eyes flashing with ability. She could have killed us both and escaped, she thought. So why didn't she?
Aye, because Calypsians are bloodthirsty barbarians, the Orion said.
Again, that venom in her tone, that hatred. Despite that, something had stayed her hand. Then again, her words weren't far from the truth, at least at times.
Some are, Raven admitted, else Zune would have ceased to exist years ago. Calypsians enjoy battle. The higher the stakes, the better. But that doesn't make us barbarians. We are against the Phoenician slavers, for example. And yet you attack a city full of children with dragons.
I didn't mean to. I didn't know. I wasn't trying to... Each time Raven started a sentence, she couldn't bring herself to finish it. Everything sounded like a flimsy excuse in her head.
Because they are.
Right. As I thought.
I'm sorry.
So you said. But I guess your gods showed you what they thought of your actions when they stole your dragon throne from beneath you. Finally, she felt a burst of heat in her chest. Harsh words burned on her tongue, but before she could voice them, Whisper snapped.
It was Aunt Viper who usurped the throne, not the gods. And you should know that Raven tried to stop the attack, but her dragon riders mutinied. She almost died. Her most loyal followers, the Guanero, did die. Good riddance.
Out of the corner of her eye, Raven saw Whisper's hands wrap around the bars.
You piece of Whisper, Raven said, cutting her off, feeling her own anger fading.
She's only baiting us. She turned her attention back toward the other cell, where she spotted a single yellow eye gleaming in the dark.
You are right. I ordered the attack, and though I changed my mind, I failed to stop it. I deserve whatever is coming to me. But Whisper was against it from the start. Try to kill me, get your vengeance, but leave her alone.
No, Whisper shouted.
If you do, I will hunt you to the ends of—
I will consider your request, the Orion said, but can't make any promises.
Thank you.
If you spare her, I won't fight you. I'll let you kill me without a struggle. Whisper's protests grew louder, but Raven blocked them out, listening for a reply.
No, the Orion said. I want a fight. A fight I will win, but a fight nonetheless. After all, we have to give your bloodthirsty people what they want.
As you wish, Raven said. Fighting was something she'd always been able to do. Whisper had refused to let it go, and eventually Raven grew tired of the argument, resting the back of her head against the unforgiving stone.
Eastern legionnaires killed more than 30 Guanero in the Scara, Whisper said. Unprovoked.
Unprovoked, the Orion said, sounding incredulous.
I know you're a child, but surely you've heard of the Dragon Massacre. That was what, 50 years ago?
Some of us have long memories. And it was 84 years ago. The precision of her response made Raven suspect the Orion thought about the event every day of her life.
No wonder she is angry. That doesn't mean you should kill people who were born after it happened, Whisper said.
And around the argument went. Raven blocked them out, considering what would happen if the three of them did end up in a pit together. She would have to find a way to subdue this new, more tenacious version of Whisper, else the Orion change her mind about sparing her. And then I will give her the fight of her life. The thought rang empty. This was no ordinary woman. She'd infiltrated the fighting pits, fought through God's knew how many pitmasters, found her way into Raven's pit, and then killed two Guanic like they were nothing but feral cats.
Who are you, Orion? She said,
cutting off the argument just before it started up again.
Like I said, I know,
My worst nightmare, death incarnate, the assassin to end all assassins. I didn't say that. Well, not all of it.
I meant, what is your name?
Names had power, Raven knew, and it was about time they stood on equal footing in that regard.
Gwendolyn.
Nice try.
And your surname?
A grunt.
Storm.
A bell rang in Raven's head. Though her sister had preferred art and literature, Raven had been a student of history, spending hours poring over tomes of stories about the Four Kingdoms and the Calypsians' place in it. And that name was familiar. But why?
Your great-great-grandfather knew my father, Gwen said.
Raven's heart skipped a beat. There was something hollow about the statement, something unspoken.
Who was your father? She said slowly.
He fought in the Battle of Barrenwood, after my bondmate was killed in the Dragon Massacre. My father died at your great-great-grandfather's hands, or, I should say, at his dragon's breath.
Silence. Raven held her breath, afraid to break it. She knew Aurians lived long lives, but this woman didn't look or sound more than 30.
My bondmate was killed. My father died at your great-great-grandfather's hands.
And the way she announced this information, so matter-of-factly, she'd disconnected her heart from her past a long time ago. Raven knew all about that.
Nothing to say, Empress? Gwendolyn said, the mocking back in her tone.
No. Like you said, apologies won't bring back the dead, nor undo the poor decisions that have already been made.
Finally. You speak the truth.
That name, Storm.
Wait, could it be?
Truly?
It was the only thing that made sense. This woman, this Aurian, she'd heard about her. She was a famous enemy indeed.
You bear a mark of power, just like fire had.
After that, the silence resumed, even louder than before. But it wasn't a denial. 24. The Southern Empire, Zune. Gwendolyn Storm. Gwendolyn wanted to pluck her own heart from her chest, find an iron lockbox to hide it in, and throw away the key. Whisper had fought for her sister like a wildcat. She will do the same in the pit, and if she does, Gwen would have to kill them both, regardless of what she'd said.
Or, why is this so hard?
Perhaps time and space had quenched the fires of revenge inside her. But that didn't change the fact that justice was in her hands. Justice for her people, for the legionnaires who'd died defending their homes, their children. Years of unserved justice, because of Sands, men and women. Gwen listened to the two sisters breathing, deep and even. She wanted to hate them, needed to hate them. But it wasn't that easy. Roan had ridden behind this very woman on her dragon. Raven had saved Gareth's life. She'd tried to stop the attack, even if it was she who had ordered it in the first place. That had to count for something, right?
Why am I here?
For the first time in Gwen's long life, she felt completely lost, purposeless. She envied Roan for his sense of truth, having a goal so certain and absolute it might have been a mountain in the distance. She could have gone with him. He'd wanted her to.
I'm a fool.
Then again, there was no turning back now. One way or another, the two women sleeping nearby had to die. If she didn't kill them, they would die in the pits anyway. Light footfalls drew her attention to the dimly lit space beyond her bars. A moment later the guard appeared, the same squirrely man who had transferred her to this cell.
"You're in luck," he said with a smirk. "The Empress said you can have your fight. The three of you will enter the Grand Arena tomorrow at dusk. Only one shall emerge with their life."
He left without another word, leaving Gwen to think about regrets and promises. 25. The Southern Empire, Calip. Ciri. The sun had grown hotter, more familiar, as she flew southward. The landscape had changed, ocean to island to ocean, to the big land that stretched to the horizon. She avoided the desert, too many unhappy memories there, too much ash and death.
I am Ciri.
The reminder played through her head often. It linked her to the soul she felt pulsing somewhere in the distance.
My soul. My Raven.
Without the name given to her by Raven, she could feel herself being driven, measure by measure, back to that carnal place of fire and destruction. Her instincts skittered like scorpions, urging her to dive, dive, to pluck the ant-like humans who pointed and screamed from where they ran around the giant glass dome. Madness, it was called. What happened to dragons without their souls? That call again.
Dive! Dive!
But she didn't, catching an updraft and rising higher, above the clouds. She'd been to that city once before. With Raven. Always with Raven. Her soul wasn't dead. Not yet. Occasionally there was pain, and she clawed at her own leathery flesh until it stopped. Now, there was only silence and calm, like the time before a storm. The connection to Raven turned her eastward, and a memory blurred her vision. The two-legger was so small, but not weak. Never weak. Even then she'd been strong and certain. Fearless. Ciri was smaller then, too, but still the size of a large guanic, 20 times the size of this child. Her wings were gaining strength day by day, and she longed to fly as her brother Heron could. The two-legger approached, her eyes never leaving Ciri's. "You are mine," she said, "and I am yours. You will be Ciri, and one day I will ride you. I am Raven." Ciri fought this two-legger for 3 long years. Every step of the way, she rejected the tasty morsels she brought, burning them to a tasteless crisp. Rejected the name, "I have no name." Rejected the two-leggers, Ravens, attempts to saddle her and ride her like a common four-legger. Then came the night to change all nights. The day had been glorious, filled with training and victory, a day in which she'd defeated all comers, including both Heron and Cronus, her strong brothers. Ciri had flown like a champion, the air itself her ally, her growing fire an inferno. Raven, watching from the steps below, had clapped and whistled for her, but Ciri had remained aloof, ignoring her. Afterwards, Heron had congratulated her with a grunt and a swipe of his tongue on her cheek. Cronus had offered nothing but the back end of his spiked tail. That night, Cronus came for her. She awoke to fangs penetrating the soft side of her neck, not yet armored in scales as it would be when she reached adulthood. His claws were fire on her back. She screeched, trying to buck him free, but his teeth only sank deeper, his claws rending her flesh. He spoke in her mind.
"Never again will you make me look weak. Now you die."
For the first time in her short life, Ciri was afraid. She felt her blood pouring out, felt her heart slowing in response, felt her inner fires dwindling. Black smoke poured from her mouth, stinging her eyes. Still she fought, twisting her neck to take a bite at him, but he merely dodged the other way, clamping down harder, turning the gush of blood into a geyser. Regardless of her victory during training, he was bigger, stronger, more capable. The color of weakness, yellow, flashed before her eyes.
"I am weak. I don't deserve to live," she thought.
Something changed. There was a snap, and Cronus released her, rearing back with a roar. He twisted away and Ciri fell. Lying on her side, her own blood pouring from her neck and back, she saw a two-legger, a child, Raven. Whip in hand, her eyes flashing with anger and determination, she growled like a lion. Cronus shot a jet of flames, but Raven leapt aside, snapping her whip, stinging his nose. He recoiled, his wings beating rapidly. He swung his tail. Again Raven leapt, but was too slow this time, the blow catching her ankles. She flipped, landing awkwardly on her shoulder, sprawling. Cronus stalked forward, raising one of his clawed feet to stomp Raven into dust. Ciri felt something in that moment, a glimmer of something she couldn't define at the time, but which she later learned was shared strength and love and the connection of two souls separated by the hair's breadth of the eternities boiled down to a single moment in time. Bleeding, dying, she fought to her feet, the last of her fires pouring from her mouth, a concentrated beam that stabbed Cronus's leg like a lance. His foot fell off balance, missing Raven by a foot. And then Ciri was on him, biting, clawing, scratching, her instincts for survival firing. She felt Raven nearby, and the two-legger was snapping her whip, fighting too. Bright lights burst forth, and then there were voices and ropes were surrounding her and Cronus as they were wrenched apart, and the girl, Raven, was kicking her legs and screaming as they dragged her away. Weeks later, Ciri's wounds had healed, but her soul had not. No, it was cracked open and another soul had burrowed inside. Ravens. Always ravens. Now, with a screech and a burst of speed, Ciri flew toward where she felt that same soul, pulsing, living, calling out to hers.
26. The Southern Empire, the Dreadnoughts. Goggin. The boat was small but sufficient, laden with plenty of water and enough raw vegetables to sustain him across Dragon Bay. Before departing the city of Antonimon, Goggin had been stopped by the Dalla.
"Remember what you witnessed here. Spill no blood."
Goggin had nodded, the bitter taste of his plans thick on his tongue.
"And you should remember that the Dreadnoughts are part of the Calypsian Empire. You would be welcomed to the southern continent."
"Thank you, but that is not our fate."
Now Goggin hefted one end of the boat, while Joaquin carried the other. It was a short haul, but still, every precaution had been taken, the wooden handles slathered in gum wax to prevent splinters. Both wore thick leathers to protect their skin in case they fell. As Goggin walked, he stared at the ground, which was soft, occasionally tufted with grass, eventually giving way to the soft cushion of sand. It was strange to think of the chaos that lived beneath the serenity of this island paradise. But it didn't change what he knew he had to do. Goggin didn't know whether Raven lived, or what the state of the Empire was, or who was at its helm. But he could take precautions for the worst-case scenario. His Guarnero were dead. If the Empire had been usurped by Shanalin the Dragon Rider or another, he would need an army. And he knew where to get one. Before they reached the water, they placed the boat carefully on the sand. Joaquin was sweating beneath the hot sun, his grey skin glistening. Goggin held up his forearm and fist in the Calypsian manner.
"Thank you," he said, "for everything. You are welcome. And thank you for showing me true courage."
Goggin laughed.
"Aye, kin to true foolishness."
Joaquin chuckled, handing him an oar and placing the other in the boat. Goggin chewed his lip for a moment, and then said,
"I meant what I said to the Dalla. Your people would be welcome in Calip. You would be welcome. You could start a new life there, one without fear. There is always reason to be afraid, but thank you. My place is here. If you ever change your mind, you will find me in Calypso. I should have plenty of stories about my ninth wife by then."
Joaquin, looking slightly awkward, raised his own forearm and fist, mimicking Goggin's earlier gesture.
"I shall remember these last few weeks, fondly."
Together they pushed the boat into the water. Joaquin backed up, and then traipsed across the beach to watch from the grass. Goggin knew this was his chance, his last one. It was madness.
"Sounds about right," he thought,
and then he bent down to scoop up a handful of sand from the beach, tossing it into the empty bag he'd prepared ahead of time. He ignored Joaquin's protests, adding another handful of monster sand for good measure. Satisfied, he clambered into the boat, grabbed the oars, and began pulling away from the shore. Finally, once he was certain he was clear, he looked back. Joaquin stood in water up to his waist, the gentle waves lapping at him. His eyes were wide with fear.
"What have I done? Only what they've made me do. They made a monster of me, and I will bring my friends to Caleb."
He sealed the bag of sand and placed it carefully in the watertight leather food bag. Then he began to row in earnest. 27. The Southern Empire, Zoon. Raven Sands. The Grand Arena was perhaps 10 times the size of the pits she and Whisper normally fought in. As a young girl, Raven remembered wanting to attend a battle royale held every year in this very arena. Her mother had always refused.
"Because of Aunt Viper," she realized now.
Raven wondered whether Viper had directly threatened Sun Sands's daughters, or if her mother was simply being cautious. Now, Raven wished she'd never set foot in this horrid place. It was beautiful, there was no denying that. With its slick marble walls and grand stone facade, and open-air quarter roof displaying a deep black sky full of glittering stars, it was a sight. Racks of shining weapons arced around the sides, enough to outfit an army. It was the people who made it ugly. What this place stood for. The ending of lives. The entertainment of death. The arena was full to standing room. The crowd whipped into a frenzy. They wanted blood reflected in their eyes before the night was done. It must be my blood, and not Whisper's. She'd been separated from her sister and escorted into the arena, where she now stood, alone amongst thousands of people. Across the grand arena, another door opened. Whisper was shoved through, her hands and feet unshackled. Her eyes met Raven's. She could see the determination in her sister's eyes. "Oh, gods, she looks like fire always did. She looks like me." Another door opened. Gwendolyn Storm, the Orion armor-clad assassin, was pushed through, but she didn't stumble, her feet as graceful as if she wasn't still shackled. "They want us to win because we're Calypsians. This is a political move by Viper." For some reason, the realization made Raven angry. Their lives were being played with like a mouse under the paw of a cat. Was I ever like that? Did I play such games when I was Empress? The truth hit her in the center of her chest. Yes, she had. And she'd ignored the atrocities committed in the fighting pits as well, a fact that now haunted her. "I was distracted by war on all sides." An excuse, nothing more. "I have failed the Empire. I have failed myself. I will not fail, Whisper." The thought snapped her back to reality, where an announcement was being made by one of the pitmasters, something about the final opportunity to place wagers. Something about how only one of the fighters could emerge victorious. The only alternative was death. A pause, the crowd's cheering filling the void to overflowing. From across the way, Gwendolyn called out, "I will spare Whisper if you go without a fight." It was a lie. None would be able to leave the arena until 2 were dead, and this Orion would not end her own life. And Whisper would not kill Raven, which left only one other option. "Agreed," Raven said, more quickly than she intended, the words spilling out like water from a shattered jug. Whisper strode forward to the racks of weapons and chose a long, curving blade. She said nothing, only turned toward the Orion.
"That expression," Raven thought.
It was like looking in a mirror. Gwendolyn's expression didn't change. Then everything happened quickly. The crowd quieted for a moment as the announcer closed the betting and shouted, "Begin!" Gwendolyn, despite the shackles linking her wrists and ankles, moved like lightning, reaching the weapons in an instant, selecting a silver longsword that matched the color of her hair, accentuating her eyes. There was a strange light about her face, an orange glow on one cheek. Raven's heart skipped a beat. Her tattooia. I was right. It didn't matter. Nothing mattered but... Raven raced to the wall and selected a long, barbed whip and another weapon, one that was quite foreign to her, a wooden hammer. It was the sort of weapon Goggin would have found amusing, but useless in true battle, unless the enemy were nails that needed to be pounded into wood. Whisper was moving in on the Orion, holding her blade high, readying to strike. Gwendolyn glanced back at Raven and said,
I can't make you any promises if she attacks me.
You can't make me any promises anyway.
Still, Raven rushed forward, giving the Orion a wide berth and moving to her sister's side.
I won't let you die for me, Whisper said.
I know, Raven replied, turning to face the Orion.
We fight together.
She'd never lied to her sister before, not intentionally, though Whisper had hidden many things from her. But this lie was impossible to avoid. Whisper nodded and inched forward, her attention naturally focused on the enemy rather than her ally. Raven took a deep breath and swung the hammer, pulling the blow just before it connected, taking some of the force from it. Whisper's eyes rolled back in her head as her feet crumpled beneath her. Gwendolyn Storm. As Whisper fell, Gwen almost laughed.
Clever move, she said. Unless your sister doesn't wake up.
Raven said, she will. It wasn't as hard a hit as it looked. She will have a headache, nothing more.
And you will be dead.
Or you. Gwen liked the fire in the woman's voice. It made things easier. She took a step forward.
Why don't you cut your shackles? Raven asked. I like a challenge. I like winning.
As do I. But she wasn't here to pass words with the woman whose family had taken so much from her, were still taking so much. She strode forward now, wary of the hang of the whip, of the slight tensing of the muscles in Raven's left arm, which was hefting not the whip but the hammer. Raven threw it. Spinning end over end, the hammer might have been the slow, graceful flight of a butterfly to Gwen's hero-marked eyes. She watched the projectile approach, timing its spin until her hand shot up and she snatched it by the handle from mid-air, tossing it aside in one motion. Though Raven Sands tried to hide it, her eyes gave away her surprise, widening ever so slightly.
I will give you one more chance, and then you...
The whip lashed out before her sentence had finished, and this time she was unprepared, expecting Raven to act with fear, not the opposite. Once more, she reached up to catch the weapon, but was a hair too slow, even with the power of her hero mark sending speed to her reflexes, strength to her muscles. The barbs sunk into her skin as the whip wrapped around her throat. With a deft, practiced jerk, Raven yanked it back, rocking Gwen forward, pain shooting through her neck as the barbs tore her skin. She landed on her face, the roar of the crowd deafening. She'd managed a strong hold on her sword, and now she twisted it around to hack at the whip, which snapped in two. With two quick slashes, she severed the chains on her ankles and wrists as well. The hell with a challenge. She was going to murder this woman. A barbed collar remained as she stood, glaring at her opponent. Blood dripped down onto her armor. Raven glared back, holding the portion of her whip that was still intact.
You said you wanted a fight.
Gwen couldn't argue with that, and it had been many years before a foe had surprised her. This woman was a warrior, something she couldn't help but to respect. But not enough to spare her. She armored her heart, gritted her teeth, and sprang forward. Raven tried to sidestep, but Gwen anticipated the maneuver before she made it, changing her own trajectory. She feinted with her sword, forcing Raven to bring her arms and whip up to protect herself, but then kicked her hard in the chest, sending her flying back. Gwen pressed the advantage, landing two punches to her face and then a high kick that connected solidly with Raven's jaw.
One swipe of my sword, and her head will fall from her shoulders.
She swung. At the last moment, Gwen's hero mark flared and she flinched. Instead, jamming the butt end of the blade's hilt into Raven's nose, blood spurting. She staggered back, desperately trying to snap her whip, but Gwen was ready this time, catching the leathery tendril and yanking it from her opponent's hand. Weaponless and bloodied, Raven didn't back away, raising her fists.
She tried to stop the attack on Feria. She saved Gareth. The look on Roan's face, like I was a stranger. Her family murdered my father, Alistair. Women, children, soldiers, Orions and humans and Orcats and all hawks and...
So much violence. So much death. When does it stop? Gwen dropped her weapon, defeated by her own thoughts. Raven Sands. Raven's head was ringing, the warmth of fresh blood coating her lips, dripping from her chin.
The kick to the chest alone had almost felled her, and her legs felt wobbly beneath her.
"This woman's mark of power. It is too much for me. Wait. Wait."
The Orion dropped her weapon. Raven stood, stunned, wondering what she'd done to grant such a reprieve. "Nothing," she realized. As Gwendolyn Storm stepped forward, a gritty look of determination flashing across her face.
"She wants to make me hurt the way she's been hurt. She wants to drag it out."
The next blow came from the side, a rounded kick that seemed to move like a striking cobra. She tried to protect herself, and the impact was to her forearm. She felt the bone shatter, her arm smashing into her skull and raining stars across her vision. Pain crashed over her like a tsunami, rolling through her. She felt sick, turning to the side to vomit, her elbows on her knees. Something thudded in her skull. "My own heart," she thought. Somewhere distant there was an unceasing animal roar. No, not animal. Human. Her own people, the crowd whipped into a frenzy. "Why did I fight for them when they won't fight for me? Why did I care about their suffering when they enjoy my own?"
Her legs wobbled again, and she wanted to give in to gravity, to fall to the ground, to curl up and go to another place, a place without dragon massacres and loved ones dying and slavery and betrayal, a place where she could, finally, be at peace.
Through her blue-black tendrils of hair, she could see Gwendolyn watching her, waiting for something. "For me to fall." She remembered her mother, her sister, Fire, and now Whisper. She remembered Ciri's scream. None of them gave in without a fight, and neither would she. She stood up straight, feeling ill again, but swallowing it down, raising her fists. The Orion's golden eyes widened, surprise flitting across her face, before her expression returned to stony hate.
"Thank you," was all she said, and then she attacked.
Gwendolyn Storm. With each strike, Gwen expected to feel something more. More than anger, more than hate, more than repulsed. Relief. That's what she craved. The feeling that she'd balanced some imaginary scale, or even tipped it in her direction.
"The direction of my people."
Instead, her loathing only grew. Not for this woman, this Sands woman, but for herself. For a few frozen moments, she seemed to leave her own body hovering above the arena, watching like a spectator as she rained down blow after blow to Raven's legs, abdomen, shoulders, and head.
"She deserves this. For Alistair. For my father. For the children. For me."
Former Empress Raven Sands refused to go down, absorbing each punch and kick into herself. Wobbling, yes, but not falling. One of her arms hung limply, and blood poured from her nose and one eye, which was already swollen shut, but she continued to stand, to raise one arm to protect herself as best she could. Finally, Gwen saw what Roan had seen. The woman she'd become, a person she barely recognized, so filled with white-hot hatred and the lust for vengeance that she'd become a mere shadow of the great warrior she'd once been.
The woman Alistair loved. The woman Roan might still love. The woman my father would have been proud of.
Dimly, she was aware that her hero mark had stopped pulsing. It was no longer helping her win this fight.
"My power has abandoned me. It is ashamed of its host."
The world seemed to shatter around her, and then she was back in her own body. She stopped. She dropped to her knees, her vision blurring as tears bloomed. Her hands shook as she painted them across her face, trying to feel the features that were once hers, now gnarled and hardened by her desire for revenge. All she felt was the blood of her opponent, slick on her knuckles. The crowd went silent, their frenzy quieted by the unexpected break in the violence. Raven stood before her, her chest heaving, her arm still held up to protect her ruined mess of a face, to protect her sister, who slept quietly nearby.
"I..."
Gwen's voice was hoarse, her throat dry and tight.
"I..." "What? What was there left to say?"
She only had one option left. to flee, to escape from this horrible place and never look back, to forget about what she'd done and these two women. It was a lie, a tempting lie, but a lie nonetheless. And Gwendolyn Storm could no longer abide an untruth. She would either escape with these two women, or she would die trying. Warmth blossomed on her cheek as her hero mark flickered once more. Raven Sands. With one eye, she watched as the Orion stood again, having finally come to some decision. This is it, Raven thought. Her energy was long depleted. She was only on her feet because of adrenaline and her own stubborn refusal to fall. But even those were on their last legs. I don't want to die. The realization took her by surprise, stealing her breath. Her lungs returned with a gasp, her heart beating double time, aching in her chest. It hurt to know she still had the will to live, even after everything, but that she could do nothing to stop the inevitability of her own mortality at the hands of this formidable warrior. Please. The appeal hung on the tip of her tongue, but she refused to let it fall. I will not beg. Instead, she said, You will spare my sister. The words were slurred, like she was speaking around a dozen mashed-up grapes. The Orion didn't answer, taking a step forward. No, Raven thought. She couldn't let her kill Whisper, couldn't bear to pass into the void with that knowledge. She took a staggering step to the side, positioning her own broken body between Gwendolyn and Whisper. The mark on her foe's cheek, an X with squared-off corners, pulsed brightly. There was something strange about her expression. Gone were the hate and anger, replaced by a steely determination that Raven couldn't quite make sense of. Still, she saw the moment Gwendolyn's leg muscles flexed in preparation to launch. Raven knew she only had one opportunity left, and this was the moment to act. She timed her own attack perfectly, right when the Orion was in mid-flight, still bringing her fist around for a final blow. Raven lashed her own arm upward, keeping her palm flat and stiff, driving into her opponent's neck with the hard bones of her hand. Gwendolyn was too fast, catching her attempted chop in a tight fist, letting her momentum slam into Raven, knocking her backward, landing atop her. The Orion stared down at her with cat-like eyes, the crowd once more roaring their approval. Raven opened her mouth to offer one more plea for her sister's life, but Gwendolyn spoke first. You swear you tried to stop the attack on Feria? The question shocked her, but her response was automatic. The truth.
Yes. Why?
That was a harder question.
Rhone, he believes peace is possible. I thought maybe I could try to work towards something bigger than myself. Bigger than war.
The Orion snorted out a laugh, so out of place for the situation that Raven felt like she'd entered a dream.
Sounds just like Rhone. If I help you escape and take back your empire, will you form an alliance with the East? A true alliance?
What? Raven understood the words, but couldn't seem to make sense of them.
This was madness. Escape? There was no escape from this void.
Gwendolyn seemed to realize her confusion.
We might fail. We might die. But I will try if you will.
Raven shook her head, causing spikes of pain to shoot through her temples.
Yes. I promise. I will do what I can.
The crowd was getting restless, their catcalls and screams tumbling down from above. They wanted their kill.
Good, Gwendolyn said. Can you walk?
Raven didn't know for certain, but she said,
Yes, I think so.
Good. I will help you over the wall, and then I'll follow with Whisper. How could she trust the woman who almost just killed her? Because the only alternative is death, and maybe, she really meant what she said. For the first time in a long time, Raven felt a shred of hope. It was short-lived. Gwendolyn Storm.
Not the wall, Raven said.
She glanced up the sides of the arena, gesturing. Gwen followed her gaze, where the pitmasters were also getting restless. They'd surrounded the wall,
their hands already on weapons.
"We have to try," Gwen said. "The tunnels," Raven said.
Gwen frowned. She was comfortable in the open air, where she would have options. But the tunnels?
They'll become our tomb. It's the only way. At least then we won't have to fight as many at once.
It made sense, in a way. In a mad kind of way.
Fine, but how do we get the gates open? Leave that to me.
Gwen nodded and rolled off her, feeling bad as Raven struggled to regain her own feet, wincing at each movement.
There is no time for pity and regrets, she thought,
focusing on the pulse of her hero mark. Raven hobbled toward the wall, bending over to pluck her whip from the ground. Gwen followed her lead, reclaiming her own blade. She added a bow and satchel of arrows from the weapons rack. A commanding voice rang out from above.
"Resume the fight, or all three of you die," he said.
One of the pit masters. Gwen looked up at him and offered a response in the form of a rude gesture. Raven had moved to the weapons rack as well, snatching twin throwing daggers. She glanced at Gwen, the barest edge of a smile forming on her blood-crusted lips. Then she whirled and threw one of the blades. It was an expert throw, sinking deep into one of the pitmaster's throats before he could so much as consider dodging. With a gasp, he fell from the seating area, tumbling over the wall and into the pit.
"Kill them!"
the other pitmaster roared. In every corner, the gates opened, chains rattling, guards pouring through.
"Get Whisper,"
Raven said, already moving for one of the gates. Gwen scooped up Whisper and slung her over her shoulder, giving chase. Half a dozen pitmasters blocked the way forward, while dozens more dropped from the sides of the arena. Raven cracked her whip, and when she jerked it back, one of the men fell, his head twisting gruesomely. Still, it was only one foe down, and Raven was moving gingerly.
"Because of me," Gwen thought.
She burst forward, accelerating ahead, swinging her blade hard against the sword of one of the masters, using her momentum to spin around him. Whisper's feet became a weapon, bludgeoning him in the head as she passed. She ducked under the next guard swipe, kicking him hard in the kneecap. Another two slashes of her blade and the path was clear. She turned to wait for Raven, surprised to find her almost on her heels, her face flushed and dripping a mixture of blood and sweat.
"Go,"
she breathed. Gwen did, moving into the flickering darkness of the tunnel, careful not to bump Whisper's head against the unforgiving stone walls. She heard the rattle of chains behind her, and turned to watch Raven bring the gate crashing down. One of the masters had been trying to follow them, and was caught by the falling iron spikes, one of which had gone straight through his leg, pinning him to the ground. He howled in agony. Raven turned away, her face an expressionless mask. She led the way into the tunnels, starting to turn left down an even darker corridor, but stopped when loud voices met them from the shadows.
"This way,"
Raven said, and Gwen had no choice but to follow her down the opposite path. Whisper stirred in her sleep, mumbling something under her breath.
"Shh," Gwen said. "You're safe now."
The girl drifted away again, her body going still. The tunnels beneath the fighting pits were a maze, and Gwen began to lose more and more faith that they would ever taste fresh air again. Thrice they were forced to divert their course by pitmasters blocking the way forward. Two of those times they had to fight off a wave of assailants before managing to retreat. Gwen had lost her blade in the last melee, while Raven's whip had been wrenched from her weakening grasp. But none of that was as bad as the moment they reached the dead end. Above them was a long shaft, the top of which was a circle of sparkling stars, some sort of ventilation shaft. Raven whirled to charge back the way they'd come, but was stopped by the wall of torchlight reflecting off swords. Gwen looked up.
"We can climb out. I can make it with Whisper."
Raven's shoulders seemed to sag, but she nodded.
"Please, save her."
Something about the way she said it gave Gwen pause. Like it was a goodbye.
"You can make the climb too. Don't give up. Not now. I will give you as much time as I can. Give me your bow."
"No," Gwen said.
"If you cannot make the climb, I will fight alongside you. We will kill them all if we have to."
Raven gritted her teeth.
"No. You must save Whisper. She is the last daughter now. She is the Empire's last hope."
The torchlight drew closer, displaying the fierce expressions of weary, angry pursuers. Gwen placed Whisper gently on the ground. Raven leapt on Gwen's back, beating on her shoulder with one weak fist.
No! Pick her up! Climb! You have to climb!
Gwen flipped her over, catching Raven in her arms.